Well, thank you so much for being here tonight. What a wonderful place to be for a wonderful reason. I hope that a service like this is a part of your tradition for the holidays. When I was a child, I don't remember churches having services like this. Our Christmas Eve tradition was always to go to Waco, Texas, to 2121 Gurley, and have a time around the tree with my father's family and his parents. And that was special when I was a kid, because my grandparents believed in making Christmas special for kids. There were three things that would be there I knew when I got to 2121 Gurley. My grandfather managed a Texaco station, so whatever Texaco was selling that year would be under the tree for me. One year it was a fire hat, one year it was a fire engine. I wish I had kept some of those toys. They're very expensive now, but usually by Christmas Day my brother and I had crashed them. The second person you couldn't wait to see was my ma. My ma lived to be 102. As long as I could remember, ma was 90-something. And she insisted on having a hug and a kiss from her grandkids. Now, this did take some special negotiation, because Ma was a snuff dipper. As long as I can remember, she dipped snuff. And so every time I ever had to kiss her, she had a little brown streak coming out of the corner of her mouth. So you had to kind of watch on the way across the room to see which side of the face you were going to walk toward. But Ma had no money, but she'd make brownies or cookies or something and put them in a plastic bag and stick it under the tree. Truth be told, through the years, I think Ma forgot some of her ingredients because the cookies got a little tougher every year. And I think someone told her, because one year she just put little sticks of Juicy Fruit gum in the bag. But that was special. And then there was my grandma. And my grandma, do you know that candy that kind of does the curlicue? I was the only one in the family that liked that kind of candy. And every year on the end table, there was a glass bowl filled with curlicue candy. And I don't know where she found it, but she found it for one reason. She found it for me. Christmas Eve was really special when I was a kid, because I knew I was deeply, deeply loved. I hope you're going to make Christmas special for some children this year. And I hope you will tonight. Last Sunday night, we had a Christmas musical with our children, Patty Weaver and her wonderful team. And over 130 children delighted us with the story of Jesus. And they're going to come, some who were in that musical, and sing a couple of numbers for us tonight. While they're getting ready, I want you to take a moment. If you don't have a candle and a plastic cup holder, go to the tables around you and get one. Take a moment. Greet someone around you tonight while they're getting ready. Let's do that now. You can stand up and greet your neighbor. One of the things that is most special about the Christmas story is that even though it's the most profound mystery in history, it's also something a child can grasp. There's much about the faith that those who are old and wise still don't understand, but even a child can understand that Jesus in the manger was God come to earth. So watch on the screen above as some of our kids tell us what Christmas means to them. And then these precious children are going to sing a couple of songs for us.
Jessica, what does Christmas mean to you?
About Jesus, and he was born in Bethlehem. Celebrating Jesus' birthday, it's about Jesus being born. I love getting presents because it's Jesus' birthday. I love singing happy birthday to Jesus.
It was important to that Jesus was born to be our Savior.
Jesus is God's Son.
Most of all, I love being with my family. People love Christmas because Christmas is special for them.
Glory to God in the highest, peace to men on earth. Glory to God in the highest, peace to men on earth. Don't be afraid, I bring you news of the Savior's birth. Glory to
Glory to God in the highest. first light of the new day, no one knew he had arrived. Things continued as they had been, while the newborn softly cried.
But the heavens, wrapped in wonder, knew the meaning of his birth. In the weakness of a baby, they knew God had come to earth. As his mother held him closely, it was hard to hate him, and in anger they would nail him to a tree.
But the sadness would be broken as the Son of Life arose, and the
gives me chill bumps. Well, if you were here past Sunday, you heard me tell a couple of stories about things that actually happened in Christmas plays. I want to tell you one more about a grade school class that was putting on the Christmas story play. And there were two little boys that really wanted the role of Joseph. And of course, only one boy could be chosen to be Joseph. Unfortunately, the boy not chosen did not take it well. In fact, kind of a bitter spirit grew up within him, and he decided, unfortunately, that he would sabotage the play by making Joseph look foolish. And so on the night of the play, the little boy not chosen to be Joseph was chosen to be the innkeeper, and he had his plan all ready. Joseph and Mary came to the set where the inn was, and they knocked on the door, and he said gruffly, "What do you want?" and opened the door. And Joseph said, "We'd like to have a room for the night." Well, this is where he thought he would cross Joseph up. He threw the door wide open and said, "Great! Come on in. I'll give you the best room in the house." But little Joseph, thinking fairly quickly after a long silence, stepped past the innkeeper, looked to the right, looked to the left, and said, No wife of mine's going to stay in a dump like this. Come on, Mary, let's go to the barn. When Jesus left heaven, did the angels think, how can the king send the prince to a dump like that? How could such a birth ever come to be? How does one explain what tonight I am calling the birth of B? See, one thing we must not do at Christmas is we must not reduce Christ. Now, the baby in the manger was little, but the identity of the baby was huge. I'm calling Christmas the birth of B. Let me explain, because Jesus is not the only personal name for deity revealed in Scripture. Do you remember centuries before, an 80-year-old shepherd is out watching his flocks in the Midian wilderness, and he sees a bush on fire. Well, that wasn't that unusual. There were lightning strikes, and bushes burn when that happens. But what was unusual, this bush was not being consumed by the fire. And he went to explore. And when he did, a voice spoke to him, "Take off your sandals, you're on holy ground." And the voice continued, "I have seen the misery and the suffering of my people Israel. And I am sending you because it's my intention to redeem my people from their bondage so that they will fulfill the destiny that I promised to their father Abraham." And you'll remember that Moses had some concern about whether or not he was the person for this mission. And one of his questions was, you know, for 400 years the people have lived in a land where there's a God on every street corner. When I go back and Pharaoh says, "What God's telling you to do this, what am I going to say?" And the voice from the bush spoke. One of the great verses of the Bible. "I am who I am. This is my name forever. I am God's personal name." Used almost 7,000 times in the Old Testament alone. And notice, not just his name for the Old Testament, not just his name for the wilderness or Israel. He says, "I am who I am. This is my name forever." Throughout all the ages, "I am" is my name. We don't exactly know how it was pronounced. The closest guess we have is Yahweh. But that is God's name. All the other references to God in the Bible are titles or descriptions. Almighty, King, Most High, even Lord are titles for God. But His name is I Am. Now, the only way we know God's name is because God chose to tell us. You couldn't go to the phone book and look up God's name. You couldn't walk past God and see His name tag. Why would God tell us His name? Why do you tell people your name? Remember, ladies, when you were in high school or college and some boy walked up and he started to flirt and he said, "What's your name?" What's he really asking? He's really asking for permission to know you better. And you have a choice to make. Do I want to know him or not? If I don't, I'm not going to tell him my name. You see, when God says, "This is my name," God is saying, "I want you to know me. I want us to have a greater level of intimacy than we have right now. So I'm telling you what my name forever is. You can learn something about me if you know my name." What do you learn about God? The preeminent thing God's name reveals is that He is the Ising One. God possesses in Himself essential life, permanent existence. He possesses the power of being, the power behind all other existence. Everything that is because God is the Iser. You know, that's what hallelujah means. Hallel is Hebrew for praise, and Yah is short for Yahweh, is or be. When you shout hallelujah, you're shouting praise be to be. And so you see, when we say Jesus was born, we are not saying that Bethlehem is where Jesus started. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What we celebrate at Christmas is that He who has always been came to be at Bethlehem. Why was be born? When you think about God's name, it sheds a new light on some of the words you've heard all your life in your Bible. Like the word became. The Bible says in John 1:14, the Word became flesh. That's where the good news starts. Be came. B didn't want to be known long distance. And here's the deal. I couldn't enter B's neighborhood. You know, in the Metroplex, there's some neighborhoods where you can drive by, but you can't drive in. They don't let you even drive down the street. You're not allowed to go there. See, I'm not allowed in B's neighborhood. If B was going to get to know us, B had to come to a dump like this. See, it seems to me that truth alone rebukes all notions of self-salvation. I don't know what you feel about how men go to heaven, but I'm telling you right now, Christmas says to me, the only way we can go to heaven is to trust in B. Because if I could get to heaven any other way, why did B ever come to earth? See, man didn't come to God. Be came to man. The Word be came flesh. And later in the verse, John says, and we beheld His glory. When Mary cradled her newborn boy, she was holding be. The infinite became finite. The invisible became visible. He who is eternal squeezed Himself inside the capsule of time to live there. Do you understand that there's no other religion in the world that dares have such a view of God? Do you understand tonight there are places in the world where if you stand on a corner and say, be King of kings, Lord of God, be I am, came, and we hailed Him, you could be executed. You can't hold be, they would say. That's blasphemous. But it's gospel. The Bible says we held Him, we saw Him, we touched Him. He ate like we eat. He drank like we drank. He slept like we sleep. He walked where we walked and talked like we talked. B became touchable, embraceable, nailable. That's right. B took on a form that you could fasten onto a cross. Why? Well, because belongs. I am's greatest desire is to have a family. And so B was born that we could be born again, and so we could belong to God. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2, you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God. Bethlehem was the consequence of belonging to have a family he could call his own. To have children that he would call his. And every parent wants a child to be like them, right? And that's what we're becoming. See, B, like I said, was born so we could be born again. John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. You and I, in a dump like this, are given the right because B came to become children of God. And that means we can become more and more like the Father. B comes to live in us, enabling us to become more and more like B. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. And what this means, 2 Corinthians 5, is that those who become Christians become new persons. Just as B grew inside Mary, so the Bible says B is still being formed in people like you and me. As I look back on the near end of another calendar year, one of the things I will thank God the most for this past year is what some of you have become. Just this time last year, some of you weren't doing a very good job loving your wives. Some of you weren't doing a good job modeling faith to your kids. Some of you right here in this room, you were struggling with some sins and some addictions and some issues this time last year that you're being liberated from tonight. Why? Because B has come into your heart too. And you are becoming a new person. And so it doesn't matter what's under the tree in the morning. You've already received the greatest gift. Because B has come. But we still haven't considered the because of Christmas. There's one word that's better than any other word to explain Christmas. Sadly, in the new translations, this word isn't used very much anymore, and it's a shame because it's a great word. And you know what it is? Beloved. That's right. The reason we're here tonight is because God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. You and I are beloved. It says it all through the Bible. Romans 1:7 says, we are the beloved of God. Ephesians 5:1 says, we should be imitators of God as beloved children. Let me tell you what's special about Christmas to me. I don't need the Christmas story to know that B is powerful. I can look at the majesty of creation and know that. And I don't need the Christmas story to know that B is wise. I can look at the order and intricacy of creation, and I can tell that. What Christmas tells me is that B loves. B loves. That's why B came. That's why John could say twice, "Behold the Lamb of God." That's why we belong. That's why we're becoming. Because you and I are beloved. That's what the angels meant when they told the shepherds, "We're bringing you good news tonight. A Savior's been born." Jim Irwin, a lot of you will remember, was one of the rare handful of men who actually have walked on the surface of the moon. He was first an Air Force test pilot, then an astronaut. He was assigned to Apollo 15, and on July 26, 1971, he fulfilled his dream of walking on the moon. And he says that when he stood on the moon, he looked back, and off in the black sky was this round blue marble called Earth, where he was from. And he says that in that moment, he felt the presence of God like never before. And it changed him. Literally changed him. When he got back to Earth, he knew he couldn't be who he had been. He left the space program so he could spend the rest of his life telling people about Christ. And here's what he says. He says, "Jesus walking on the earth is more important than man walking on the moon. All the things we do, all the awards we accumulate, all the trophies we treasure, none of it compares to this, the birth of B. I am. Came to earth so we could go to heaven." And I don't know about you, but that song we sang just before I stood up, one reason it gives me chill bumps is because every time I think about the coming of B, it just gets me that much more eager for His coming again. The Bible says in 1 John 3, "Beloved, now we're children of God. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him. Because we will see Him just as He is." Now in the first light of the new day, no one knew He had arrived. But before His life began, He knew He'd come back, not as a baby, but as the Lord of every man. The Bible says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." And someday, all men will acknowledge the light has come. But we're here tonight because we say the light has already come. And we believed. So we celebrate the birth of B. Not just in Bethlehem, but in our hearts. So right now, we're going to take a moment. And we're going to join with the shepherds and the angels. And we're going to worship because we've heard good news. B came. And he still comes.
Born into darkness, open my eyes, let me see.
To it. stand with us, please.
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord, we'll praise His name forever.
I'd like you to take just a moment now. Would you bow your heads? Take just a moment and thank the Lord God for the birth of B. That God loved you so much, He would come to a dump like this so that someday you and I could go to His neighborhood. Let's just bow our heads and praise God that Jesus came. Oh God, thank you for telling us your name. And help us to hear it in a new way tonight. Some are thinking, I don't know if I'm strong enough to do another year like this last one. I hope they can hear you say, I am. And some are thinking, I feel really lonely. Who's going to be there? I hope they hear you say, I am. And some are thinking, I messed up so much last year. Who could forgive me? Who will forgive me? And I hope they can hear you say, I am. Thank you, God, for your name. Thank you for your Son. And thank you tonight that you put it into our hearts to come and be here. And we pray that you will come soon, Lord Jesus. We're ready. And please worship with me.
For you alone are worthy. For you alone are worthy. For you
thank you for being here tonight. I hope this was a encouragement to you. There will be some boxes at the exits where you can put your candle and your little plastic holder. So please do that on the way out. But we have one more thing that we want to do. Go ahead and remain standing. We want to close with a powerful hymn of worship to the Lord that will bless us and we know will bless our Savior. So you can go ahead and blow out your candle now. We will hear the Hallelujah Chorus and we'll be dismissed.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!